This program is designed to provide general information with regards to the subject matters covered. This information is given with the understanding that neither the hosts, guests, sponsors, or station are engaged in rendering any specific and personal medical, financial, legal, counseling, professional service, or any advice. You should seek the services of competent professionals before applying or trying any suggested ideas.
Good morning and welcome to K4HD Radio. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. My name is Ben Baker. This show is all about how you communicate value, how you build influence through trust, and recognizing who your audience is and who they are not. Over the next 50 minutes, we will explore different ways to help you demonstrate your uniqueness and ask our guest, what's your story? Welcome to the show.
Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. How are you today? It's 10 o'clock. It's Wednesday morning. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. I wanted to start off the show on a little bit of a somber note. We lost a member of the Talk for Media family last week. Chad Murphy was 48 years old. He was an engineer. He was a host. And he was an incredible friend to everybody on the program. And I just wanted to, you know, acknowledge the fact that, you know, we've lost somebody and he will be sorely missed. So I wanted to say thanks to everybody who is part of the Talk for Media family and let them know that I'm thinking about you guys, no matter where you guys are from coast to coast. Now, on a better note, you know, this is the Your Living Brand Live show. What we do each week is we have a conversation with a guest and we find out a little bit more about them and what they're going to do. And Adam Greenberg will be joining us in about 15 or 20 minutes. Adam is an amazing soul in the fact that, you know, not only is he a senior vice president of sales for a major organization, I'll get into that, but he does some amazing charity work and he's just an incredible person. But I wanted to start off the show by telling you a story about where I've been last weekend, because it was an amazing experience, an absolutely amazing experience. I was honored to be asked to be a judge for JDC West 2019. Now, what JDC West is case competitions for universities, and this is for all the major universities in Western Canada, and there's 12 of them. And each university brings 10 teams to a central location. They all happen to come out to Vancouver to Simon Fraser University. Shout out to Simon Fraser. And what they do is they get 3 hours to look at individual cases. And there is enormous amount of cases, everything from marketing to human resource management to international business to accounting for not-for-profit business, operation management, etc., entrepreneurship. And these kids are second, third, fourth year university students. And they have 3 hours, no internet, no phones. They're locked in a room. And their job is to create a PowerPoint presentation where they can stand up in front of a series of judges, explain, you know, what they believe the case to be and how they can solve the problem. And then we get 5 minutes to, you know, to judge them and to ask them questions. And then they have to leave the room and hope for the best. Now, I was judging the marketing competition. There was 12 different presentations that we got on marketing. And let me tell you a little bit about it. It was a retail situation where you had a major Canadian retailer. It's June, it's 2018. And we had an agency coming in to pitch us to tell us what they were going to do for the Christmas season, how they were going to help us move the needle, how they were going to help us make this, you know, whole business better and be able to have a successful retail season. And it was interesting because the case was about 15 or 20 pages. You know, everything was laid out. There was lots of red herrings in there. There was lots of information in there that was designed to confuse people. And the job of each and every single one of these groups, and there's 3 people per group, was to disseminate the information, to sit there and understand, first of all, what does the client need? What does the client want? What's going to make the client's life better? And they had to be able to, in 3 hours, drill down, understand, figure it out, and use their point of view and their frame of reference to be able to come up with a case study, or sorry, not a case study, but a presentation that was going to be able to wow people. And in this case, it was supposed to be the president, the CEO, the VP of marketing for a major retail organization. And, you know, they had a $5 million budget to work with. So it was a pretty serious budget. And they were told, hey, go for it. Give us your best. Well, I'll tell you something. Four of the groups, I would have sent home packing. Halfway through their presentation, I would have raised up my hand and said, you know what? Thank you very much. You know, it's been a great day. You know, I don't have time to listen to your presentation. You know, you've missed the mark. Go home. One of them completely ignored that it was actually a Christmas presentation and started talking to me about what they were going to do for us in 2019. And another one quadrupled the budget. They didn't take the time to understand what their task was. They didn't take the time to understand what did the client need, what was important to the client, what was going to be able to help the client be better at what they do. And that's where the challenge is for each and every single one of our businesses, is to figure out what, not what we do, not what we want, not what we think is best in our mind, but what's going to be best for the client in their mind. What's going to help them take care of their clients? What's going to help them solve the problems that they actually currently have and that are going to help them take care of the situation at hand? And these four groups totally missed the mark. Now, there were some really, you know, middle-of-the-line presentations. There was a couple presentations that were pretty good. You know, I wouldn't say they were phenomenal, but they were things that could be worked with. They simply say, you know what, we like your ideas. We like what you come up with. We like the situation. But we need to tweak this, this, and this, and that's okay. You know, for 3 hours to be able to figure out all the information, put it together, and present it, they came up with a really good solution. But you know what? You need to be thinking of your clients. You need to be thinking of, how can I help them be better? How can I help them make their job easier? How can I help them take care of their clients? How can I help them make money? How can I help them be successful? How can I help solve the issues that are keeping them up late at night? If we're not all thinking about that, if we're not thinking about that when we're looking at our clients, and I don't care if you sell retail, I don't care if you sell wholesale, I don't care if you're business to business, we all have people we need to serve. And the people that are walking in the door or calling us on the phone or jumping on the internet looking for us all have problems. And they're coming to us because they think that we can solve those problems. If we can't react, if we can't, you know, be able to quickly understand what their issue is and how we can add value, we can't. You know, it comes down to understanding who are the people that you can help. Because if you're, you know, sending the message out there that you can help everybody and you can't, well, you're doing nobody a service. But if you can sit there and clearly state, these are the people that I can help, this is how I can help them, and these are the things that I can do to solve problems, you're going to become extremely valuable to an audience that needs your help. And that is what we all need to look at. How do we help that situation move forward? And that comes down to how we communicate. How do we communicate effectively? How do we differentiate ourselves? How do we make ourselves unique? And whether it's through social media and our website or our email campaigns, do we know who our audience is? Do we know their problem? Are we putting out messages that sit there and people say, oh, wait a second, these people can help me. These people know what my problem is. These people know what my issues are. These people may have a solution that can help. Maybe I should go look at their website. Maybe I should phone them. Maybe I should email them back. Maybe I should respond to them on Twitter. And if you look at it, you know, that's important. Now, how can you help others do that? Now, this is quite a good question. How can we help others do this? How do we need to think this? Do we need to think this way in business? Absolutely. You know, let's start off with the first question first. How do we help others do this? How do we help people communicate more effectively? We look at what the problem is first. The first thing we need to do is understand these are the things we do as a business. This is what we do. You know, we don't sell cars. We don't, you know, do trapeze acts. We solve problems to deal with marketing and communication for business-to-business companies. That's what I do. I help business-to-business companies solve problems and be able to communicate themselves more effectively. That's what I do. And all the messaging that I do comes across that way. All the messaging, all the things that I do say one thing, whether I'm on social media, whether I'm on hand-to-hand handshake, whether I'm on the phone with somebody, whether I'm on the radio, I commute the fact that this is what I do, and I don't do everything else. I can refer you to somebody who does other things, but I don't want to do this. I don't want to do retail marketing. That's not what I do. I work with industrial clients. That's what my specialty is. That's where my value is. And when people understand, oh, he can't help me with this, but he can help me with this, things are better. So do we need to think this way in business? Absolutely. We need to think of this way personally, and we need to think of this way in business. We need to think of the customer first. How do we solve the customer's problems? How do we add value? How do we help them be better? You know, and what if we can't solve the problem of others? That's okay. That is okay. It's better to say, you know what? I can't solve your problem, but I know somebody who can. And that's where a great referral network comes up. And everybody has it. Everybody knows people or knows people that knows people. And more you can say is, you know what? I don't know how to fix this problem, but let me find somebody who can fix it and introduce them to those people. You become valuable in the fact that they say, you know what? He couldn't solve my problem, but he helped me find an answer anyway, or she helped me find an answer anyway. And all of a sudden, you become a resource and somebody that they're going to refer people to say, you know what? They didn't make a dime by fixing my problem, but they took the time to do it anyway. You know what? I know now what they do. And when I know people that have those problems, I'm going to tell them they need to go see Ben, or I need to go see Jane or Alan or whoever. You know, that's important. What audience do we appeal to? And how do we know who they are? Great question. You know what? Every business needs to appeal to a specific audience. And how do you, you know, what audience do you appeal to? You need to figure that out. I can't answer that question without knowing, you know, specifically what you do. What are the things? You're a retail shop in a small town in West Virginia that sells hammers. Great. Then you need to find out who are the people that need hammers. If you are a retail shop in Beverly Hills that deals with high-end women's fashion, those are the people you need to appeal to. And you need to figure it out. You need to sit there and say, these are the people that have the problems that I can solve for, whether it's making a retail purchase, whether it's, consulting services, whether it be, you know, internet or, you know, web development services, whatever. You need to be able to sit there and say, who are the people that have the problems that I can solve, and go out there and solve them? Because when we can do that, when we can look at the world through that lens, that it's not about me, it's about the people I can solve problems for. If I can take myself out of the picture and say, you know what, I'm really good at this. I have the talents to do this, or I do this and this. And if I combine these two talents, you know, it makes me even more unique. I am a marketer who only deals with baseball. Great. You're going to sit there and be the marketer for the baseball franchises, whether it be, you know, AAA league, major league, whatever. You are a specialist in marketing to baseball, you know, because that's where your passions lie and that's where your expertise lies. And that way you can go after those type of clients that need that specific help. But until you can understand what you can do, and then go out and find the people who already have that problem that you can solve, you're just another commodity. But when you can go out there and say, you know what? I know that you have these type of problems because I work with people that have these type of problems, and I see that you're that type of person. Here's how I can solve those issues. I may not know everything about it. Let's find out a little bit more about exactly what you do. Let's understand your business a little bit better. Let's talk about it a little bit more. And then I can sit there and say, you know what? Even if it's just a hammer, this hammer may be better than this hammer, or this wrench may be better than this wrench, or this solution may be better than this solution. you become somebody who's an expert in an area and be able to give very deep, specific advice and be able to help people. There's the value. So let's go to a commercial break. Let's take a minute. Let's breathe. When we're going to come back, I'm going to introduce Adam, and we'll go from there.
This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand Live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
The You're Living Brand show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your Brand Marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand Live Show.
Welcome back to the show. Now, this is the part of the show that I really enjoy, and I actually ended up pre-recording this interview with Adam because he is actually down in Mexico. He spends 6 months of the year down in Mexico and 6 months of the year up here. And, you know, it was better with internet connections and time zones and everything to be able to pre-record this, but it's a great interview, and I hope you enjoy it as much as we enjoyed doing it. You know, Adam is a senior vice president or a vice president of a major software company, SAP. They're a 90,000 person company. And what he does is he does strategic solutions for the company. And, you know, because he travels so much, he deals with North America, deals with Asia, he deals with Europe. He just needs somewhere to be able to land. So 6 months a year, he takes the family down to Mexico. He's actually become a sommelier down there, and they got a small little wine shop, but he's also got an amazing charity. And it's the charity that I wanted to talk to Adam about and how he gives back, because the interesting part of the conversation we had was, if not me, who? And that's what I love about this conversation. That's what I love about the talk that he and I had, is that he decided that it wasn't somebody else's responsibility. It wasn't waiting for somebody else to step up and make things right or make things happen or, you know, help other people out. He sat there and said, you know what? I've got the capacity. I've got the capabilities. I've got the relationships. I've got the friends. I can't do everything, but I can do this. And it's what I truly believe. I believe in the ripple effect. I can't solve the world. I can't solve the world problems. I know that, you know what, I'm almost 50 years old. I know that I can't solve the world's problems, but what I can do is I can affect my corner of the world. I can drop my pebble into the water and watch those little ripples happen. The people that I influence, the people that listen to me, the people that understand me, the people that find me valuable, go on and they influence others and they influence others. And the more that we can just sit there and say, you know what, it's not the fact that I can't control the world, but I can take care of my own life. I can control my own life, and I can control my actions, and I can control the things that I do, and I can help the people that I can help, and I'm just about to do it. So sit back, enjoy the interview with Adam. I really loved it, and I'll be back when we're done.
Adam, thanks for joining me this morning. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. How are you? Thanks.
I'm doing great. I am doing great. I mean, we were just talking offline and you inspired me. So I think this is going to be a great conversation.
Oh, great. Thank you.
You know, for people that don't know about this show is all about value and vision. It's all about who are you, what do you do, why you do it, you know, who do you do it for, and why should they care? It doesn't matter if it's a personal brand or if it's a corporate brand. You know, it's being able to get your message across effectively so people, you know, not only listen to it, they understand the value to them and they want to engage. And that's what I love about your story, is that it's a story about engagement. So why don't you bring me into it? You know, tell me a little bit about who you are, you know, what you're doing right now, because you're doing some really interesting stuff, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So thanks for the opportunity. And it's you know, something that I'm certainly passionate about sharing. I think it's important to share these experiences. And you know, I aspire to inspire. And I do a lot of work that's focused on inspiring people to lead better lives, to lead a more balanced life, and to impact the world around them in a positive way so that everybody has an opportunity to experience, you know, life at its best. So I do a number of things. I mean, first of all, I'm an executive with a software company called SAP. This is a large German multinational company. And the company's mission is to improve lives and to make the world run better.
Right.
And some people might, you know, kind of roll their eyes because this is a software company. but you know, it's true. And I'm very, very proud to work there. And I'm not a spokesperson. So, you know, what I can tell you is from an employee is that they walk the talk and they're involved in a lot of work that actually does improve lives and does make the world run better. And there's a lot of examples of this that people can look up for themselves. And as an employee, they give me an opportunity through the way I'm compensated, through, you know, flexible work schedule, and through the inspiration and motivation that I get every day to be my best self, to improve lives and to make people and organizations run better. And so I'm involved in a lot of things outside of that I'm very passionate about.
So let's talk about those. I mean, it's great that SAP, you know, gives you that flexibility. It allows you to be the champion of their brand, which is very cool. I mean, I love SAP. They do great things. But let's talk about the stuff that you do outside the work, because that's really where, you know, where I see that you're making some real impact, not only locally, but, you know, internationally. And I think that's exciting stuff.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And it's just the stuff that really inspires me and makes me feel that my life is meaningful and creating a legacy for my daughter and my own community and family. And so, you know, there's a couple of things. I'll share a story about a couple of kids in the community that I live in here just outside Vancouver, Canada. And these two kids, you know, two girls, 7 and 9, who saw the images on TV of the Syrian war.
Right.
So maybe, you know, maybe like my daughter sneaks out of her room and watches what her parents are doing and listens. They must have seen the news or heard the stories, and they felt, you know, horrified and scared and upset. And they wanted to do something, and they asked their parents what they might be able to do. And their parents did what every parent should do, is said, look, these are complicated situations. It's far from here. You're safe. Don't worry. But these kids did worry, and they wanted to do something. And so they took it upon themselves to start going door to door, and they collected stuffed animals.
Wow.
And they, yeah, it's really beautiful. And they collected over 300 stuffed animals.
At 7 and 9 years old.
Yeah. On their own with a wagon, you know, picture them with the wagon going door to door. When I was maybe 10, I had newspapers in my wagon.
But exactly.
Collecting stuffed animals. And so they brought these stuffed animals to their parents and said, like, we've collected them and now we want to send them to kids in Syria. Well, it's beautiful, it's sweet, and it's a bit naive, right? Because
The logistics are horrific.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you know, non-government organizations and large, you know, international charities are unable to get real humanitarian aid there. So they're not going to be able to get stuffies there. So no.
Especially used stuffies.
Yeah, exactly. But the issue of the war in Syria and the impact of refugees and fleeing and what's happening in Europe and Canada at the time, the government was in a debate about should we allow them in or not.
Right.
They being refugees. And so I was struck by this, and I was really struck by the image of the little boy on the beach, Alan Kurdi.
Yeah, I think we all were.
We've all seen it. And so that struck me, and I attended a community meeting. And in that community meeting, I met these girls, and these girls told the story of what they did, and they asked if someone could help get these stuffies to these kids. So I decided right there and then that I would use my air miles and my hotel points that I've been accumulating through work to go somewhere where I could deliver these stuffies and show these kids that what they did matters. Of course, I also raised some money so that we could deliver other types of aid when it would happen. And I did a bit of research and determined I could travel to Germany.
Right.
Where it was safe for me to travel.
Outside of a war zone. You know,
a little safer. as much as I want to help, I don't want to go to Syria in the middle of a war.
Yeah, so, trust me, you know, being shot at is never fun.
No. So I did it, and I did the research, and I was met by a family in Germany who had access to these areas, and we delivered the stuffies. And I mean, if you Google Greenberg Syrian refugees, you'll see the story. The CBC picked it up, and
nice.
You know, we talked about it, but that really, you know, changed me. Seeing the looks on the kids' faces as I was handing out the stuffies, and you know, things like shoes. We delivered to three different camps in Germany and hundreds right. of kids, and it was incredibly powerful.
And it's amazing that most people don't realize, you know, socks and shoes seem like such a staple and such an obvious thing here, but they're probably a treasure to these kids.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really sad situation. I would say what really changed me was not the being in the camps and handing out the aid, but it was when I was back at my hotel later that night, mm-hmm. alone in my suite in a nice hotel, and I went for a walk, and there was nice cars driving by and people carrying on with their life, and I had a nice dinner, and I felt just drained, and it felt unfair.
Right.
And when I flew back to Toronto after, and I went to a hockey game, and I almost had a breakdown. I mean, just the waste, and the excess, the pure imbalance is just, it's not right. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't and that people shouldn't have these things. I enjoy a great life. I have a beautiful home and a nice car and nice clothes. And I'm not against that in any way whatsoever, but I felt like I could do more to try to create that, to try to fix that imbalance, that each of us has the power within ourselves to make the world more balanced.
Well, it's raising the water up for everybody. It's not doing without. It's giving those who don't have anything a little bit more and raising the water level. You know, and that's what it's all about. It's not about doing, you know, depraving yourself. You know,
I agree. I
think doing better for everybody.
We have to take care of ourselves first, yes. So that we can then help others. And you know what I started to do after that experience was talk about it more and post about it more on Facebook and Twitter, and I wrote about it on LinkedIn, and I started to share the story that, look, I have firsthand experience. I went there. I met these people. They're lovely people who are in a horrible situation. Mm-hmm. They're not what, you know, the comments on Facebook portray them to be, terrorists and this sort of thing. Send them back. This sort of commentary is not true and not fair. And so I was able to also bring that perspective and kind of change some opinions.
Right.
And then what I did followed up with, and we inspired people and created some groups, and we started sponsoring families to come live in Canada. And I was directly responsible for one family who's relocated to Squamish now. They're a family of five, a beautiful family. The kids are in school. They've learned English. The parents are both working.
Nice.
Wonderful, wonderful people. They're friends. We're working on the next family, and I was indirectly involved with four other families to come to Canada. And so, you know, the work continues. But when you talk about kind of representing your brand, I don't think of it as a brand, but it's certainly representing my values and sure. things important to me, and trying to spread that word of love and compassion and to do what we can to make the world a better place.
But that is your brand. Your brand is that compassionate side of you. It's who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And that to me is a brand. It's not a logo. It's not a color palette. It's what are your core beliefs?
Well said.
And I think what you're doing through action is demonstrating your core beliefs, and you know, actions are far more potent and powerful than words. So kudos to you for that.
Well said. Well said. And I mean that, you know, that experience also led me to really look around my surroundings and wake up a little bit. Until then, I think I wasn't a bad person, but I was mostly focused on getting a new car and a big TV and you know, having a new suit and a bigger house. And that was, I think we all go through that, and it's okay. And luckily I've accomplished those things, but it woke me up, and I started to look around. I mean, we also have a vacation home in Mexico.
Right.
Spend some time. And what I started to notice was that outside of you know, my immediate surroundings, there was a lot of poverty and a need for a lot of help. And so yeah. One day I was on the beach. I'll share a story here. I was on the beach with my daughter, and a gentleman pulled up, and he was asking for money, and he had a bunch of kids with him. And I asked him what the money was for. He said it was to take care of these kids, that they have no home and that he looks after them. And, you know, I'm a bit cynical. I got to admit, I'm a little suspicious. I'm not going to go and start giving people money. But I did take his business.
You got to do your due diligence and make sure it's not just, you know, somebody who's going to turn around and use it for drugs or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, you know, it's, everyone's got to feel comfortable with what their own decisions are. But I took his business card, which looked kind of handwritten.
Yeah.
And I showed it to my wife that night, and she said, you know, why don't we go there? Let's, like, we're here for a few weeks. How many days sit on the beach? Let's go there.
Yeah.
And see it for ourselves. And so we Google Earthed the address and we just went.
Uh-huh.
And I was really, you know, shocked in a couple of ways. I was shocked by the conditions. So there is very, very poor area. Lots of garbage around, no screens on the windows,
a right.
dilapidated trailer with a palapa style roof for a kitchen. It was a bit dirty. So I was shocked by their conditions that these kids were living in, these kids that this man was looking after. But I was also shocked by how happy they were and how carefree they seemed to be. And mm-hmm. just no different than my own kid who has everything, is happy and carefree. And so are these kids. And so that,
kids are amazingly resilient.
They are. They are. But I decided I wanted to get involved with helping them as well. And I yeah. have since then, certainly.
Nice. So tell me a bit about that charity. I mean, because that's really sure. grown. I mean, that's,
it has.
You know, and the mission and the purpose behind it is actually a really phenomenal thing. And the question for me is not only what are you doing, but how are you supporting it both economically and how are you getting the message across to be able to let people know why they should support it?
Sure. No, I'd be happy to. And so it actually comes back to SAP again, which is funny enough. I was attending a sales conference in Vegas, talking yeah. about excess.
yeah, I'm in Vegas 4 times a year. It is definitely excess.
Yeah. And I was attending a sales conference there, and one of the team building exercises we did was to build bicycles for inner city kids.
Oh, very cool.
And everybody got a tool, and yeah. they had to go into groups and build a bike. And some right. people worked, some teams worked really hard and built this bike perfectly. Others just rolled their eyes and went to the bar. Others did a kind of a half-assed job and you know, did it good enough.
Yeah.
And at the end, the speaker talked about how every day at work at SAP, you need to do the best job you can because there's someone on the other end of the work. Whether it's, you know, software for a not-for-profit or software for a multinational company that's delivering goods to people who are buying them,
yeah.
the work you do every day matters, and you should bring your best every day. So that was the
Absolutely.
Message. Then the curtain opened, and there was all these inner-city kids who've never had a bike in their life. And
wow.
I was overwhelmed again with, wow, I wish I had done better.
Yeah.
Now, luckily, there was another curtain with some bike mechanics, and they came in and they...
they came in and fixed yeah, what you couldn't. I see.
Yeah, but I decided then that I wanted to get bikes for all those kids I met at that orphanage in yeah. Mexico. So I did, my wife built a fundraiser on you know, a GoFundMe site, and we started nice. Promoting it on Facebook, and we raised $7,000, and the company that I met at that event, that conference, got me the bikes at cost.
Nice.
I posted an ad in the local community EE board and where there's a lot of expats living, and said I was doing this and I needed somewhere to put the bikes while we were waiting. And
yeah, to surprise someone, the kids.
Yeah, someone donated their garage. And then we held a party at my house there and invited the community to help build the bikes. And all these people showed up and Mexican families were cooking. And it was this amazing thing.
A community event.
Yeah, and then we brought the bikes on Christmas to these kids.
Oh, cool.
And it was so, like, tears and laughter. And it was so amazing experience. And I fell in love with those kids. And yeah. you know, and a few years later, Hurricane Odili hit the right. Baja and completely devastated that area. And the yeah. orphanage was more or less destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So their windows were smashed. Beds were soaked. The garden, chickens were killed. The garden was flooded. The water system was broken. Vehicles were destroyed. Luckily, the kids were uninjured. They told the story of being huddled all together and crying in the middle of the night while the storm ravaged the area. But when, you know, a few days terrifying. Later, when I got some images of the facility, when I finally had a friend there go and was able to navigate the roads and take pictures, the images I got back were heartbreaking.
Of course.
And they have no money. They have no way to rebuild. And there's no government aid for this type yeah. of facility. And
nobody's got insurance for that.
Yeah. And so I started thinking, well, the government should do something, or the church should do something, or the community should do something. someone should do something. And my wife said to me, why don't you do it? Why does someone else have to should all the time? And
that's right.
And I was like, wow, you're right. And so I did another fundraiser, and this time we raised $40,000.
Wow.
And started spreading the word about what was happening. And within 2 weeks we did that, and people were donating money, and we hired local crews. And then from that, I realized, well, I had to, you know, be able to account for all this money.
Sure.
So we set up a special bank account. Someone volunteered to sort of make sure that the money was, you know, bills were being paid directly. We didn't hand anybody any cash.
Yeah.
We paid bills, got receipts, and from there, people started to ask me more about the orphanage, so I was forced to learn more about it. Mm-hmm. Then I asked if someone could build them a website so that we could promote it more, and someone did.
Nice.
Someone built them a Facebook site. See, and then people just started coming to me naturally to learn more, to donate, to get involved. And so ever since then, I've been kind of overseeing operations for the facility, making sure propane is filled, that they have food, enough food every month for 3 meals a day for 30 kids is 90 meals a day. It's a lot.
Before I forget, what's the website? Let's make sure we get that on the air.
Sure. It's www.newcreationkids.com.
Kids?
Kids with an S.
Kids. Yeah. So New Creation Kits, K-I-T-S.
No, kids, like children, kids.
Ah, like kids.
Yep, thanks for clarifying.
newcreationkids.com.
newcreationkids.com.
Perfect.
And there's a Facebook site as well. And so, yeah, now I make sure that their tuition's paid, kids are in school, they have their uniforms and everything that they need, recruiting people. And it's very, very rewarding. And I love these kids. I know them by name. I know their personal stories.
Nice.
My daughter's growing up with them. You know, she's now almost 9. And when we first met these kids, she was 2. So it's pretty cool stuff.
It's almost like older brothers and sisters when she goes to visit, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, big time.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. So it's one of those things that it's not only a personal journey, but you're also being able to make an impact that's way bigger than you. And I love the story of it shouldn't be them, it should be us. Because, you know, my mantra in this world is I can't solve all the problems in the world. It's impossible. But what I can do is I can make impact where I can. I can solve little problems in my neighborhood, in my area, in my part of the world, and hope that everybody else does the same. And I give you nothing but credit for taking on that mantra, because the more people can just sit there and say, you know what, I can't do everything, but I can do this. And if you actually go ahead and do that, the world is going to be a better place. Agreed. And I think that that's an amazing thing.
Yep, I agree. You know, even thinking good thoughts and saying nice things and something simple like posting something nice, let's help, instead of saying send them home or whatever the dialogue is. Every little bit raises our collective consciousness and propels us forward as a society.
And I think that's really important. So I'm going to leave you with this thought. This is something I ask everybody when they walk out the door, when they get in their car and drive away, what are the things that you want people to think about, you know, Adam Greenberg and your charity when you're not in the room?
Wow, that's a great question. I've never thought of it. I don't know what I want people to think of me. I want them to be inspired. That's what it is. I want them to say, if he can do this, I can do something similar.
Right.
And if you want to do it with me, hey, I open my arms and say, let's do it together, whatever it is. And be happy to you know, to be a part of your journey and their journey, and we can all do this together. Or if it's you want to go out on your own and do something, please just do it and know that you've got that power and that influence as an individual to make things happen. And That's what I want. I want to aspire to inspire people to be their best selves.
That's phenomenal. You know what, Adam, thank you very much for being on the show. Hang out in the green room. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and I'll be right back.
My pleasure. Thank you.
All right. This is Ben Baker of the You're Living Brand Live show on K4HD Radio. We'll be right back.
Your Living Brand Show is brought to you by Your Brand Marketing. Did you know that the world views your brand not as you desire, but as it relates to them? That's why you need to communicate your brand. Tell a story. Win loyalty. Your brand marketing helps you reach that goal. It's time to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. It's time to contact Your Brand Marketing. Please visit www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download a free chapter of the book on personal branding. That's www.powerfulpersonalbrands.com. Download your free copy now.
Welcome back to K4HD Radio. This is Ben Baker, and this is the Your Living Brand Live Show.
Welcome back. Adam is inspiring, and the way I look at it is it's not just Adam's story, and I absolutely appreciate Adam's story. It's where business is going. You know, what we think of is the fact that SAP allows Adam the opportunity to do this, and probably, you know, hundreds if not thousands of other employees within their company, to be able to allow them to have the opportunity to do these side projects, to get involved, to get that. Because what that does is it ties Adam directly back to SAP. It makes him more loyal to the company that he's working for. It gives him, you know, a sense that the company believes in him and gives him the support to be able to do the things that he's passionate about. And when we can support our employees, when we can understand their pet projects, when we can understand the things that are important to them and be able to support that, you know what? Those employees are going to be more loyal. They're going to be better brand champions for you, and they're going to work harder. And not only that, but they're also going to talk to the people outside the company. And it reflects, and it's a snowball effect, because all of a sudden you have employees that are sitting there going, you know what? This is the great company that I work for. This is what I do, and this is why I do it, and this is how they support me. And all of a sudden, people sit there and say, okay, I have a choice of, you know, working with company X or company Y. Which one are you going to buy from? I have a choice of buying from company X or company Y. The one that's got the better story to tell, the one that has the better mission statement, the one that has the one that lives their life in a more meaningful way, those are the ones that I want to deal with. Perfect example, a few, you know, months ago, about less than a year ago, we needed a new dishwasher. And, you know, there's lots of places you can go buy a dishwasher, and you can buy it online, you can buy it at Costco, you can buy a whole bunch of other things. We ended up going to Home Depot. And the reason I went to Home Depot is because I know whenever there is a major catastrophe anywhere that there is a Home Depot, they open up their doors to the first responders. They sit there and say, you need ladders? Take them. You need tarps? Take them. You need rope? Take it. You know, and the fact that they actually have that as part of their mission statement, that they're there to give back to the community, even if they were more money, and they actually were, they were the same price as buying it somewhere else, I would buy from the Home Depot because I believe in what they're doing and how they do it. And that's their differentiating factor. That's what makes them special in my mind, because they're aligning themselves with ideals that are mine. And you know what? They're not going to align themselves with everybody's ideals, and they're not going to be able to serve everybody, but they sit there and say, this is what we believe. And the people that believe what we believe, and the people that, you know, act the way that we act, the people that do the things that, you know, do the things that we do, are going to believe in us. And I think that that's what is missing in this world, to sit there and say, you know, these are the people we serve. We can't serve everybody. We can't help everybody. We can't do everything. But these are the people we can help. And we're going to help them really, really well. We're going to take the time to find out who they really are, what they're passionate about, what are the interests that they have, what are the problems that they have, what are the things that are keeping them up at night. And we're going to become experts in how we can help them. And you know what? By doing that, you're not only doing your clients a service, but you're doing yourself a service as well. You're not fraying yourself all over the place and trying to be a jack of all trade and a master of none. You're sitting there saying, you know what? These are the people whose problems I can solve. These are the people that I can take care of, and I'm going to take care of them to the best of my ability. Now, going back to Adam and taking care of things the best of your ability, I want to give a shout out to Lauren Kotzer from a company called Soft Stuff Creations. Now, Lauren is a supplier of mine. You know, part of what we do in the promotional marketing is we do absolutely custom, you know, unique to you promotional marketing pieces and stuffed animals. And Lauren is the only person I would ever go to because he makes sure that they're ethically sourced, they're made properly, you know, they're safe for the children, and that, you know, when you get something from him, you know that my clients can give it out to their clients and feel good about it. Well, I wanted to help Adam. I wanted to find out how I could help Adam. And I'm sitting there going, okay, he's dealing with kids. You know, stuffed animals are always appreciated by kids. Kids always love stuffed animals. So I went to Lauren. I said, Lauren, you know what? Could you do me a favor? Can you help me out? Give me a discount on these things, you know, so I can be able to turn around, give them to Adam, and be able to go from there. And Lauren stepped up and said, what do you need? You need 30 stuffed animals? Go into my warehouse, pick 30 that you want. They're yours. You know, there was no muss, there was no fuss, there was no nothing. He sat there and said, you know what? They're going to children in an orphanage, done. Because it resonated with his belief set. Now, I will never buy, you know, stuffed animals on a wholesale basis from my clients, from anyone else, because of that. He built a relationship with me because he did the little things that made me look good to somebody else and took care of people that I want to take care of. And it's those little things that go a long way. And it doesn't have to be expensive. And it doesn't have to be this grandiose gesture. It could be just the fact that he listened to it and said, you know what, Ben, what I can do is I give them to you at cost. Absolutely, Lord. That's wonderful. You know what? You're willing to give them to me at cost? No problem. How much they cost? Let me write you a check. But he took the extra step and was nice enough to give them to me for free. And I wanted to say thank you for that. Now, as companies, as individuals, as organizations, what do we do? And I need you each to think about this. What do you do to be able to live your life in a purposeful way? Understand your value. Understand what you really do. Understand who you do it for. Understand why you do it. Understand why those people that you engage with should care about you. And live your life accordingly. It's not about you. It's about the people that you engage with and being passionate and interested about them. How can you help them? How can you make their lives better? Because when you focus that way and you are able to take a look at things and sit there and say, how can I help other people be better? They will take care of you and they will make your life better. I'm convinced of it. I think that that is the way that we will all be better. The more we can shake hands and say, I trust you, the more that we can sit there and say, I will take care of you, the more we can say that I will, you know, be there for you and really mean it and not only say it, but actually do it, the better off this world will be. And business will be better and more profitable and stronger relationships, not only with your customers, but with your employees, because your employees will have something to believe in. So take the time. Understand what you do. Understand why you do it, who you do it for, why people should care, and build a life and a company and an organization that not only says it, but lives it. You know what? This has been Ben Baker. This is the Your Living Brand Live show. Every single week, I want to sit there and give you something to think about. I want to answer your questions. I want to take things, you know, that are interesting to you and things that you have questions about, and I want to answer those questions. And each week, I hope I bring a guest on board that's going to be able to inspire you to do things just a little bit better. Thank you for all your support. I look forward to seeing you next Wednesday at 10 o'clock in the morning on the Your Living Brand Live show. We will have this up on our website at www.yourlivingbrand.live on Friday, and you can listen to the repeat. Share it. You'll like me and connect with me on iHeartRadio. Ask me questions. Send me an email. I'd love to be part of you. And you know what? We'll see you next week.
This has been the Your Living Brand.live show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. My name is Ben Baker, and my company is Your Brand Marketing. We help you to stop being a commodity and instead be a brand worth loving. If you want to communicate more effectively and build influence through trust, contact us at yourbrandmarketing.com. That's www.yourbrandmarketing.com. But every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, this is the Your Living Brand Live show. Tune in next week on K4HD Radio when we ask another guest, what's your story?